Do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster, Jeremy?
See, that one I'm not... Yeah, I don't know. Dude, it doesn't...
It's so fake.
It's not fake.
It's not real.
It's the equivalent of Bigfoot, right?
Yeah, Yetis, right? Are Yetis real? No, they're not. This guy believes, though. You think there's a real monster living in that lake,
There is more evidence for the Loch Ness Monster than there is that the Earth is round.
Oh, come on.
What?
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better, so that together we can be a little better. Welcome back to the A Little Better podcast. That's really hard to say. Brad, I know you're not here right now, but you can do this.
A little better.
A Little Better podcast. Welcome back. I'm joined. This is Webster Takeover.
Let's go.
Take two. I'm joined with Jeremy. He is the director of Next Gen at Webster and also our campus pastor, Nate Miller. Now, Nate, you just preached, and I'd love to know, give our listeners the summary, a 60-second summary of what you just talked about.
Sure. So in our series, Dear God, talking all about prayer, and my talk this week was really just about the practical side of prayer. We've kind of spent time the first 3 weeks talking about the what of prayer, the why of prayer. Bailey did an awesome job starting us into more of the practical side of how do we pray by praying the Psalms, praying scripture. And today was more just talking about how do we develop a habit of prayer. And I talked about what habits are, how they're important towards helping us stay on course and on a direction. And as followers of Jesus, hopefully we're desiring to become more like him. And so what are the small decisions, those repeated behaviors, the habits that we're able to form in our lives that help move us in that direction? And really just talked about the habit of prayer. So what are the little things that we might be able to do? So I shared five different things that hopefully someone can grab one or two of those that, again, just help them be able to find that rhythm, that habit of prayer mm-hmm. in their lives.
Whenever you preach, there's always stuff, one, that you miss out, or there's stuff that you want to be able to say that you don't really get the time to say, and two, there's things that really God presses in your heart, like kind of puts you in the vice as you preach it, or prepare for it. What are some of the things that you feel that you left out, and what are some of the things that really God really pressed in your heart?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the things starting with that left out, inevitably when you're doing more of a practical steps or tips or whatever you want to call it, there's inevitably just a lot of just additional tips that I could have put in there, as well as just even stats. One of the stats that really surprised me too that I didn't mention now that I think about it is Crossway, which Crossway is a well-known, I think they're a Christian publisher. Mm-hmm. They write a lot of articles, but they did a survey recently where they surveyed 14,000 people, and only 2% said that they were very satisfied with their prayer life. Hmm. And that just really struck me because prayer is important, as we've been talking about throughout the series. And yet I think I'm included in that. I don't know that I would say I'm very satisfied. But it's one of those areas, one of those disciplines, one of those habits where people, I think it's very easy to feel man, I don't do this well. And so I bring that up because hopefully it brings hope and encouragement to people out there. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. Prayer is one of those things that even in my own life, there's been ebbs and flows of times where I feel like I'm doing that well, other times where I feel more distant in it. And so, yeah, I guess that was one of the things I left out of just that stat of just hopefully helping to encourage people, you're not alone in this. We're all in this journey of trying to figure out what prayer looks like for us. And I think habits should be different too. That was the other danger of I share these habits, here's what you need to do, here's the formula, where right. I think we're all wired a little bit differently. Our schedules are different. There's so many things that are unique about us. But yeah, hopefully there's that importance of, man, I do want to cultivate that relationship with Jesus through prayer. And knowing what works best for us in that. So those are some of the things I didn't necessarily hit on that I left out.
What was the most pressing thing for you, or convicting, that you're taking away from this?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, anytime you're speaking on something, I go through that battle of just internally of dude, you shouldn't be speaking on this. You know, there's mm-hmm. that you're no expert on prayer. So working through just the man, there's areas for sure of growth that I need to have when it comes, comes to prayer. I think I am very good, and we can talk about this more later, of habits. And I have like three habits that I have when it comes to prayer. It's I pray before meals, and then I pray at night with my kids. And then I usually pray on my way to work. But I want to get better at, though, like, I can fall into like the rhythm of that. I'm great with like having a list or having things to do, but like the times that are so meaningful to me in prayer are when I kind of strip some of that away and it's just like that real raw time with God that's more spontaneous. Mm. So spontaneous prayer is good. I didn't even really talk about that, but sometimes the spontaneous times are just the like real raw emotional, Lord, I'm struggling here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question in any one particular way, but just challenge me at the core of just like, yeah, how am I doing? Where am I at? Right. It's been a good check for me.
Jeremy, what should he have said that he didn't see?
Oh, there's so much good. Put me on the spot. No, I love the conversation our church has been having as a whole around prayer and just what it looks like to have this continued conversation with Jesus. I loved the example that you shared of your grandparents that just modeled that beautiful rhythm of talking to God and what that meant, not just for them and their relationship with God, but how that influenced even how you view prayer and how that's been impactful in your family.
What are some of the things that you've seen? I mean, this could be for both of you. Like,
right.
Did you have grandparents or parents or anyone like that that you saw model it well?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things in my family that as a kid, we all do this, right? We take things for granted that we think are normal. But then as we grow, we realize, oh, maybe that isn't as normal. But one of the things I really appreciated seeing in my grandparents and my parents as well is that when things were good, when things were difficult, our response was prayer. Mm. And so I would like to think that Chelsea and I have tried to model that as well, follow that example, that we don't just pray when things are hard and when life is difficult, but we pray, and Nate mentioned this, with gratitude.
Yeah.
We want to be grateful in those moments in life where things are going really well. And so it's not just this isolated seasons in life where prayer kind of takes place. Mm-hmm.
You already talked about your grandparents as well.
Yeah.
It's like such a cool example.
Yeah. And what I can, like, if I stop and think, I can even like hear their voices. And to me, it was just such a sweet, simple, you know, habit that they had developed that, you know, it can be easy to feel like that is like tradition and that is just like, and certainly there can be a side to that if you're not careful as you approach that. But like, those are the kind of things that like, I just want to instill the, like, I may not feel like it may not be flashy, but like, these are just these things that are so important that help me and pull me towards wanting to be more like, Jesus. Hmm. So, yeah.
Excuse me. Talk to me about what your prayer life is for you guys. Like, what are some of the habits that you have and some of the struggles you have trying to even like maintain those habits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I just appreciated from you, your vulnerability, Nate, is that, you said that for you, habitual prayer is sort of a healthy rhythm. You know, it's an established, you have three times a day where you pray. And that's an area for me, I feel that I'm growing in. I think that's an area of prayer that the Lord's kind of challenging me. Hey, you can be more, I'll say rhythmic, or you can be more habitual with your time spent in prayer. Where I feel that I spend most of my time in prayer is just in the moments where I'm experiencing emotions or just thought patterns in my head. And thankfully, the Lord, through His grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, has grown this reflex where my response is prayer. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling overwhelmed with, you know, anxious thoughts or, you know, things that might be out of my control, or even I just got back from a vacation, so like coming back to work, coming back to normal routine, that can just be an overwhelming time. And so recognizing when I'm weighed down or, just not sure like what the next step is, realizing I can either choose to move into that moment in my own strength, right, or I can talk with Jesus about it.
It's almost like you're saying, like, you have like a habit of reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember my dad is a retired doctor now, but we'd go to his practice and he would like, we'd sit up in the bench and he would like do, like, we'd use a stethoscope and we'd do like the trigger point in your knee and it would like kick up. And it's almost like these trigger moments, that's like a habit or a nerve that, as you're saying, like, whether you travel or something, you have this habit of, it's not necessarily consistent throughout the day, but, or week, but there's a consistency in reflex to specific mm-hmm. moments.
Yeah. And believe me, there's so much further for me to go and, sure, and grow in that journey. But one of the blessings that I feel like has come as a result of that rhythm is that when I'm, you know, at the ocean, it's no longer about just like seeing the waves or like sitting in the sand for me. That's a moment, maybe for me and my family, but even deeper than that, that's a moment for me and Jesus, for him to meet me exactly where I am. And I'm sitting in the space that he created. And so there were times in my life where I would miss that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to sit in the awe of what God made, but I was missing out on the conversation that really Jesus is always inviting each of us to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, I think for me, I talked about those times. One of the things that I've started doing probably within the last 3 or 4 years that's kind of been cool is I have a specific prayer that I actually pray for my kids. Do you guys have any specific prayers or like one that you...
I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But not... I always pray at the end of praying for them at night, like, okay, with them, is like, give them a good restful night's sleep.
Sure.
That's a bit...
Yeah, like,
you mentioned mine on Sunday. I think you said help.
Help. That, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely one. Yeah.
So one of the things I've been doing for my kids, sometimes I pray this out loud for them, but I try to pray it each day for them if I don't, is just that they would love God with all their heart and serve him with all their might. I try to pray that every day for my kids. And that has just been a powerful reminder of, again, like where we're headed. But I was curious. That has been helpful to me, of just coming back to like just what it's all about. And what I desire as their parent, you know, that my kids would love God with all their heart and serve him with all their might as they get older. And I pray it every once in a while for them. I'm like, Dad, you prayed that again. Like, yeah, I know. I did, buddy. Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting. I feel like my habits, I mean, I can always easily go into excuses, but... I've been in the States, 13, it's coming up in 13 years. And I remember before I came, I was through like a really rich, I had a lot more habits. I would read my Bible, like with my breakfast in the morning. And that was like a really good habit. And I feel like there's a lot of fruit in that. And then then I moved to the States, started studying. And it was like the first 3-4 years were just like really hard, like really raw. And there's still stuff that I feel like I'm dealing with now. And what I realized, we talked about this recently, like, I feel like I've been walking with God. You can walk like closely with someone, and I'm not talking about the whole like footprints in the sand, like he's carrying you. Like,
there's only one.
Yeah. But like, as I walk with Jesus and follow him, I've realized that I've had him at like an arm's length. And I know that I'm kind of coming to like, acknowledge that through just kind of in a survival mode, I was kind of numbing. I felt like, God, I did this for you. I followed you. I obeyed. And this like was really hard. Yeah. And I've been realizing that I've had that and I'm not quite ready yet, if I'm honest, to just like fully surrender and bring him back. Like fully bear my all for him. And surrender completely. But what's been really interesting is I started meeting with a mentor, spiritual director. His name is Rory Noland. And every time we meet, he says, let's take a moment in quiet to make ourselves present with the God that's present with us. And through that practice, and I love doing it when I meet, like Jeremy and I meet every couple of weeks, we do this. I've loved that practice, and I do that now like every morning. And it's not like my habit of prayer is not a specific, Well, yeah, I do have like a, I have a Celtic book of prayer thing that I go through. That's like a consistent thing that there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like each day of the week. So that's a consistent prayer. But I think what's bringing me back to a place of where I've kind of had him at an arm's length is just that moment of quiet, being present with God, mm-hmm. not me just talking to him or trying to listen, but just being. Mm-hmm. And it's been a hugely, a critical step for me in that prayer is simply just a returning to God and in communication. But I think just being present for me, at least, in that habit of every morning, just sitting, being present with a God that's present with us has been really vital for my walk. While I know that I'm not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Just to be with God has been really important.
And so what does that look like? Is it just like a moment? Is it
That's a good question.
A minute, 10 minutes? Or is it, and is it literally just you're reflecting, not saying anything, but more just taking a moment to be present?
I was thinking about this recently. I want to do it. It sounds super like odd, but till I sense him there, I can't really describe it. Some people, I'm not trying to go into like crystals and like energy and all this or stuff like that, but I do think that that's like a warped version of what I think that they're tapping into the spiritual realm.
Sure.
And I think for me that there's just, what I've noticed is that it's not a feeling. It's not necessarily even annoying. It's just a place where I'm like quietly waiting for God to, in the quietness as like
the jump beeping. Yeah. If you're hearing this beeping or crashing, there's garbage truck is here.
Yeah. It's just a quietness. And there comes a point where, and I think the window of time is shortening, where there's just something inside of me, the spirit inside of me just connects with God.
That's awesome.
I don't really know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. Try it and see what that's like for you, but that's been helpful for me. It's interesting. I think that if we can move on from that necessarily, but like I'll say it in the inverse. So attention has become a currency for us, right? So literally a currency, like social media, even Google Ads and all this stuff. We are paying, or people are paying for our attention. And this, when it comes to even like the habits of prayer, it's really hard to break through some of those distractions. So it's not just about creating new habits, but stopping old ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For you guys, like what's been some of the things that has been helpful for you when it comes to breaking old habits, or at least breaking the distraction, the habitual, we're distracted to be able to bring in these new habits?
Mm. One that comes to mind, like I love sports radio. Mm. Big, like, yeah, a lot of different, yeah. I won't start naming different programs. I was getting ready. I was like, yeah, that's probably not too helpful. But I love sports radio. And so with this habit of trying to, especially in the mornings, after I drop Livy off at school, just turning the radio off, for me has been helpful. No music, no nothing. It's just quiet. That 20 minutes has really helped me to be able to narrow in. But that, I'm not always perfect at that, but that is one where like just trying to quiet out the noise of, because again, you can fill every moment of time and space with something, whether it's even a podcast or yeah, the radio or whatever. But that's been one for me that comes to my mind that like, yeah. And it's hard because sometimes, especially like in the middle of like the Bills season, and they had a great game on Sunday, and I just want to like know every nook and cranny and detail and analyze like crazy, you know, what they're talking about in regards to the Bills and how they're doing. But sometimes it's good to be like, no, I don't need that. I need to take time to be with the Lord. But that's been one that's helped.
So just choosing to turn off the radio.
Just turn the radio off, and that allows me to just be able to better focus and pray.
I like that. What about you, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think for me, growing up in church, growing up in a Christian family, prayer was one of those things I kind of put in a box. And so for me, one of the things in terms of helping grow my prayer life, it's been just being more creative and adaptive. And so what I mean by that is not necessarily putting God in the box of he can only meet me here when I'm in my quiet place with my Bible open. Jesus is just as likely to meet me if I'm caring for my son that just woke up screaming. If my heart posture is one of which I'm ready to talk with him.
Right.
Yeah. If I'm, like you said, Callum, returning to God, if I'm returning to Jesus in that moment where he's placed me in this season of my life, exactly where I am, and he hasn't left me alone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's given me a spirit, his presence that's there. And so I think that just growing in my understanding of, okay, I can choose to respond. I can choose to return to Jesus wherever I'm at. And so that's given me, even for a time, I had completely shut off a lot of the applications on my phone. Mm-hmm. I had, and that was helpful for those people that maybe you know you need to do that. I would encourage you to do it.
Yeah.
But what's been interesting is in the past probably 6 or 7 months, I feel like the Lord, in some way, this is going to sound funny, but he's almost been redeeming my phone. And so he's given me 2 applications that I use on my phone that have tremendously grown my prayer life, which one of those is called the Pause app, which is was developed, I think, by John Eldridge and his team at Wild at Heart. And then the other is called Inner Room. But those two apps serve like very distinct different purposes. Inner Room, you can kind of build a prayer board. And so you can kind of track different areas of your life that you're praying for. And so that's really helpful for me to kind of give structure to my prayer life.
Right, right.
And then the Pause app is just, you can set alarms throughout the day. So whatever fits your schedule or rhythm, your phone can serve as a reminder to just pause and be present.
It's crazy how much the phone is just robbing us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've been really convicted of that.
Yeah.
With, like, being just, I mean, ultimately prayer, like, this is a habit of presence, about returning to God, being present with God, whether that is like being like talking to God, like we classically think, or if it's just taking a moment to be present, like I was sharing. The phone is just such a distraction to presence. And whether it's like with my boys, even Carly, my wife, like just it's so easy to kind of get distracted with it. And like we've tried to, over the last couple of months, like we both try to wake up at 6, go downstairs and avoid looking at our phone because it's so easy. Just like the first thing, oh, what was the notification? Oh, I'm curious what that is. And then you go down this like stupid rabbit hole of like of stuff that you're automatically, there's like science behind it, as I anecdotally quote it, of like where if you start your day off like looking through emails or looking through social media, that's where throughout the day your brain will naturally go to. But if you start off, like you were talking earlier about, like you can return to God like at any point. If that's the way you start your day, then you're more likely neurologically to continue to do that practice throughout the day. So that's great. Anything else you guys have, even just having listened to the message or preaching the message, anything you guys want to add before we wrap up?
I was just curious, this is gonna be totally off the wall and crazy, but do you have any just like habits you do every day, not spiritual, not anything like that, that are just like you don't even think about it but you just do, like
oh man,
I mean for me it's just like I am the one who is always in charge of our dog, so this is simple. So it's just like every exact same time, and my dog, if I don't feed her by this time, like she, you know, talk about a dog who's like on a rhythm or on a system or a habit. So anyway, I was just thinking of that, but like, that's my job. Every morning right at 7, I feed her every day at 7 and every day around like 5:30. But that's a weird habit, but it's like one that literally every day happens.
I wake up and feed my boys.
There you go.
That's an important habit. I mean, I try and, I got this watch recently and I try and make sure to, or remember to put it on. Like I've got an Apple Watch as well. And I realized that I didn't really wear it, partly because it was annoying because it didn't charge. So whether it's just like winding it up or something, but it reminds me, because it's an analog watch, it's an automatic watch. Like the time is fluid. Like it's not actually this accurate thing in that as much as we try and like fit it all into like minutes and seconds, it's just a human construct. Like the earth is flat. Like, but as Jeremy Clarkson would say, on that bombshell, like, let's wrap up. Well, Nate, do you want to give us a little bit of foreshadowing? How does this series like wrap up? Give us a picture of what's to come.
So all I know is Drew's back. He's speaking next week to close us out, and it's called Dangerous Prayers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Oh, yeah, boy. That's where we're going. So yeah, he's talking that, all about
that ended up
prayers.
Me in the States. So I don't know what it's going to be like for you, but you might end up in Scotland. That might not be a bad thing. Yep. But be sure to listen next week. We'd love to see you at one of our campuses in Webster, Brighton, or Rochester. Tune in online. But we won't be here, sadly, at the podcast next week. But good friends, colleagues, what's the term? Partners in ministry?
Sure.
Co-laborers. That's all they get in ministry.
Bond servants.
Be sure to be bond servants.
Wow.
The train is officially off the track.
That's all right.
Well, anyway, good to see you guys, and we'll see you next time.